This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, we're at week 12 already. From this Palace Preview podcast, and this week we've got Everton at home. Well, I put off Patrick. I've made him ill with my bad singing last week, so apologies to everybody who had to endure that. Patrick's the last person in the world to have caught COVID. I'm sure of it. But poor Pat, he's not very well, so get well soon, mate, and we look forward to speaking with you again soon. But we're lucky enough to still have Mr. Christopher Clark with us. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Nick, you all right?
Yeah, not bad. No grounds this week?
Well, not yet. I'm revisiting Selhurst on Saturday, but other than that, nothing. I think I've had enough of football grounds after five days last week.
See, as you're a Guardian reader, revisiting Selhurst would imply that you'd be looking at it with a slightly different eye than you normally would.
Yeah, well, I hope not. I hope it'll be, or if I am, it'll just be more upbeat and celebrating a big win or something.
Yeah. Well, tonight, at the time of recording, I thought, oh, I'll actually put on something Palace for a change. And I just grabbed the first one out of me messed up shirt drawer. And this is only good if you're watching our video, but here it says on this shirt, founded 1905. Well, yeah, so Mikey likes to do April Fool's trick, so I thought a good one for next year would be, because we're 1861 now, any memorabilia bought in the centenary year has to be returned to the club shop.
I like it.
Yeah. But I've just given that one away now, so we won't do it. No match report pod this week. Apologies for that. I'm not sure what went on there, but we'll give them a proverbial kick up the bum, hopefully. And we'll see with them back in action at the weekend. But like I said before, we've got Everton at home this week. We have got some Palace news, so we'll go through that first. Did you see, I'm going to go for this one first. Did you see or hear about the Tottenham-Chelsea game at the weekend?
Not in detail. I saw the result. That's about it.
Yeah. 18 minutes added on for VAR nonsense.
Crackers.
I mean, why don't we just moan about the ref getting it wrong again rather than having all this nonsense? Because it's the same row, but it's just about different people. Surely.
Well, yeah, and it's the same people, isn't it? And they're not even at the ground. I mean, I will stand up for the principle of the technology. I think it's right to try and avert injustice. Problem is, it's absolutely not worked thus far. So, yeah, it either needs to improve or get in the bin.
It's got a bit anal, to be fair, hasn't it? We parlance it in the older days.
We're going to have to bleep this podcast now that you've said that. But, on a serious note, it's usually, nowadays, it tends to be whether a striker's toenail was offside or, you know, someone committed a foul a minute ago. It just doesn't make any sense to me that you can... On the other hand, I was definitely always in the pub moaning about those things, saying, you know, he committed a foul in the build-up to that. So, I see the logic behind having brought it in. It's just not working at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Did you read about Ezra signing a new £100,000 a week contract? Isn't actually on the Palace site yet, but good news.
I've seen reports that it's in the offing. If it happens, it's great news. By all accounts, it sounds like it'll include some kind of break clause, such that if a big offer comes in, he can move on to a bigger club. And good luck to him, because he's an England grade player. His contract is running short. That will make him the highest paid player at the club. And good luck to him, because he's extremely good.
Yeah, he got the assist, didn't he, for Mitchell on Saturday? Yeah. So that was good after being on the bench. But I'm going to come back to that in a bit, because I want to talk about the Burnley lineup and some of the reaction to it. The other thing after the Burnley game that I saw was that Paddy Mac is getting more kind of exposure, both on the website and kind of appearing on news channels, etc., which has fueled speculation on the social media places that he is in fact being kind of his Roy's apprentice, ready to take over at the end of the season. Do you subscribe to that, do you think?
Well, that was widely speculated when he was given the job after Vieira left. And he'd obviously covered the job in between as well. So, there's a logic to it. These internal appointments, they don't always work. I'm thinking of someone like Craig Shakespeare stepping up. When you get the big job, having been the number two, or certainly not having had the experience of being a number one before, it doesn't always work. So I'm a little bit reticent about it, but the club will do what it deems is right. I think they're clearly at least considering it, because otherwise I can't see why they'd be giving him that profile.
Yeah, and if they're not considering it, they don't deserve to be running a football club. It's always got to be an option on the table. Anything else? Right. No, I'm going to talk about the bench, because against Burnley, because Eze was on there, which was great. Rakitić wasn't. It turns out, since the game, we found out it's Rakitić injured. But the response on social media to him not being in the lineup, in the hour build-up. Now, I know we're all old washerwomen gossiping about football on Twitter and wherever you gossip about football, and bread and circuses and all that. But surely, if the bloke's injured, can't the club put that to bed, even if it's just 5 minutes after they announce the teams? Because the opposition know what the team's going to be now. Apparently he's going to be out for a month. I'm not sure what the injury is itself. But is this stuff deliberately fueled? Is it just bad social media management? Is it deliberate social media management, or is it just bloody inept?
There's no options there that are impossible. I think let's be honest. If it is an injury and everyone's saying that it is, then it would have been better to announce that. Not before the team lineups come out.
Obviously,
you're giving intel to the opposition, and clearly, the club's not going to do that.
Although it has to be said, teams have stopped bothering looking with Roy as manager, because it's pretty much the same anyway. But that's by the by.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's there's generally a predictability to our lineups with these games, and you know that has its frustrations for many, but equally, you know, all the time it's delivering results, I defy people to complain, really. That's the key for me, is the results. I do think it could have been handled better in terms of putting out that there was an injury. But on the other hand, you know, it's just... I was about to say it's just us as fans and it doesn't affect what happens on the pitch, and it doesn't. But it does matter because, you know, we care so deeply, and it would do no harm to just allay that frustration by sharing that information. So I don't know if the club has noticed or cares about the feedback that it's got, but I think the feedback was pretty ringing on social media in terms of the anger about that, you know, about Jez not getting selected or even being on the bench. Given the previous week's comments, you can understand why there was some concern about that. But we are where we are now. Hopefully the club's learned its lesson and will, if there is a need to not play a popular player, then, and it is due to a last-minute injury, then they'll announce it in future. They certainly should.
Yeah, exactly right. I've just been looking for updates on Elise's injury. Now we've got Ebbs back. Do you know any more about that? I haven't seen anything. I know he was sort of back in light training, wasn't he? Just wondering if there's a chance we might see him on Saturday. So, look, Burnley, just to summarise, was a very well a very good defensive display. Lots of corners for Burnley in the first half, which we dealt with easily. We didn't take the game to Burnley, but we scored fairly early on. It's a great goal. A rare out of acceleration from our Jeffrey. He was the answer. From a great cross in. He completely lost his defender, but it was the only thing that he did in the first half, maybe all of the game. The major thing for me, and I only had half an eye on the game, was Eze coming on. And he kind of got into the game quite quickly, but provided the assist for Mitchell. He scored for the first time in front of fans, which must have been good for him. Rumour is he told Hamada to leave it, which Hamada did. So that's actually fantastic and should give him a little bit of lift. Sam Johnson was another sublime performance. I've been watching Johnson and who's the other England keeper? Plays for Everton, Pickford. I mean, I know Everton haven't been that brilliant lately, but Pickford has been outstanding in every game I've seen him playing. So it's good competition for Johnson. But we had very little possession, let Burnley have the ball, and still won 2-0. And, you know, some people would say that's a Roy masterclass, Chris, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It was solid performance, wasn't it? You know, decent result. And I don't think there's too much more to say about it. As a lot of people were quite down on it still, very much kind of, you know, yeah, great, we got the points, but that was dull, defensive, etc. I do just want to quickly highlight the excellence. You said how good the cross was from IU.
Yeah.
The turn before it was incredible. It was absolutely sublime. And, you know, I predicted that he'd score the goal in a 1-0 victory for Palace. I wasn't right about that, but on the other hand, I think, you know, the beauty of that turn before the cross and creating a goal is pretty much as good as scoring one. So good for him.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully he'll be fitter than he was on Saturday.
Yeah.
And maybe get a few more minutes. I can't not say how many amazing challenges Anderson made as well. Just absolutely incredible. absolutely incredible. We are so lucky to have him in our team. So, Saturday, our mayor is a bloody disgrace because this game isn't happening at the same time as a minute's silence on Armistice Day, and it's happening miles away from the cenotaph. So why isn't it being called off, Chris? I jest.
Thankfully, the whole world's gone bloody mad.
The whole world's gone bloody mad. Right. So Everton at home should be an easy 3 points, surely, because they are shit.
They are, but they are clearly improving under Dyche, which is annoying. I mean, they worked the Scum by the Sea hard. They nearly beat them at the weekend. It was only an own goal by a player I don't particularly like and usually would be pleased to see score an own goal, Ashley Young, who cheated and got Dicker Choi sent off in our first season in the Prem against Man U. He scored an own goal against Scum by the Sea, which was would have been pleasing, except it was them and got them a point. So, yeah. But looked like they were going to... It was, you know, a tough one. And they'll give us a game, annoyingly. I'm confident that we'll do it, but, I'm not as happy and confident as I was a week ago before they pulled that performance out against Brighton.
Yeah. So I was listening to, I think it was the Gary Lineker podcast the other day, they were talking about Man United and how a club kind of, once it starts rotting at the top, it takes a few years, but you start to see that in the team. Everton fans are kind of up in arms about this new 777 partnership. Their previous chairman, who sadly passed away, Ken Wright, I don't know how much of a handle he had on stuff because he was obviously very, very ill and perhaps he was only there in kind of name only. But they've been in a spiral for a while, haven't they? A memorable game recently was the FA Cup match when we just tonked them 4-0. I think Andros might have come off in that match, or maybe that was another match before, after he'd joined them. And they just always seem to be a team with ideas above their station and never going near where they expect themselves to be. We've got to remember Frank Lampard's snarky comments after the thing. Wasn't it fluke, lucky, corner, fluke, or whatever? What do you think's been behind their demise, Chris, from your very, very limited knowledge of Everton?
Well, as you say, Everton haven't been my focus, but I do know a bit about them. I mean, Ken Wright is a decent, or was a decent guy. He was a theatre man. And he'd run the club on a shoestring, funding it himself for a very long time before bringing, I've forgotten the name of the guy who was the chairman until very recently. But by all accounts, I need to be careful what I say legally.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
About this, but it looks like he also, let's say, had a relationship with Alisher Usmanov, the former Arsenal shareholder as well.
All right, yeah.
I think he had a financial relationship there, it's fair to say. And obviously, Usmanov has since been sanctioned for being close to Putin. And strangely enough, that chairman then ceased to have access to the money that he needed, seemingly, to do the things he was doing. The club is obviously highly invested in its new stadium. There's a lot of construction work going on its new Docklands site. So,
have you seen how steep those seats are? Bloody hell.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be very interesting to see, you know, when they finally get that place open.
standing and replacing it with unsafe seating.
But the big question is, what league are they going to be playing in? Because, again, like I say, that they've got a serious financial fair play.
Why? Is there going to be an also-ran Super League mooted again in the summer?
Opposite. There's talk of a 10-point deduction for Everton.
Oh, no.
So, you know, and they're already on the brink at the moment. So if they were sadly to be hit by a points deduction, which would definitely not be just vengeance for the way their thugs behaved on the last home game for them of the season when they stayed up a year and a half ago and the way that they behaved. Yeah. I mean, if they ended up going down, I mean, I'm sure none of us would take any pleasure in that at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at their last few results. They got beat by Luton. I mean, win against Bournemouth and then a win against West Ham in their last six. And that draw with Brighton. So, yeah, they are on the up a little bit. I had a look on some of the Everton forums, or one of the Everton forums called Grand Old Team, and just to see what they thought about the match and about Palace. They're worried about Eze. Delos is a horrible place where it's always windy. But they're expecting to take a point of this from this game. But the one that got me was a bloke on there called Brownie. He said this could be the first match in history where somehow both teams managed to have less than 40% possession.
Wow. Which is... yeah. I mean, that's interesting maths, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're battling to not have the ball, because both teams do like it that way.
So yeah, indeed. They've got 11 goals in their 11 games this season, so that's not too bad. Goal a game. And getting in about 12 shots per game. Aren't these stat sites brilliant? Our head-to-head against Everton, we've played them 58 times. We've won 15 of them. And we've drawn 19 and lost 24. What's been your favourite victory ever against Everton?
Chris? Ooh. I've never seen us win at their ground. I really want to see that happen. I think you're probably going to be looking at that, you mentioned the cup game already, and I think that's probably the one that was just, I mean, I remember that was probably the first time that we sang the We've Got Super Pat Vieira song. It certainly seemed new to me.
I thought it was Norwich away was the first time.
Yes, you're right, it was. But it went big, and that was away, whereas this was at home. It went big in the stadium that day. I'd struggle to look further than that one, to be honest. What's yours?
Well, that's one of my favourite songs of recent years. I don't know why. It must be the cadence of the verses. It was just an uplifting song. And they just didn't stop singing it at Norwich. My favourite has got to be the one that spawned at the cup final against Man United. Or it might have been a playoff final, actually, when I was with my brother and we were walking to Wembley singing when Jeff went up to live for Zenith Data Systems Trophy. Yeah. We were there. Which is quite a mouthful to try and fit into that one line. But, yeah, so definitely that game, I went with my dad. I went with my uncle, John, who's an Everton supporter. They've both sadly passed now, so it's quite a while ago. But, Neville Southall sitting against the posts. And up until that point, I'd never seen us win it at Wembley. So, yeah, it was a big moment. I have one of our only major trophies that isn't even major. When do you reckon we first played them, Chris?
Oh, I'm going early. 1920.
Not early enough. You keep forgetting about these FA Cup.
Of course.
Which is only 2 years after this shirt.
Wow.
Says we were founded. 1907. We drew at home to them in the FA Cup, which would have been quite a shocking result. And then we lost 4-0 away to them in the Cup. Yeah. We'd have been a minnowy non-league team then. But recent years, it's kind of been equally losses and draws with them. The most notable win being the 4-0 in the Cup, as we've said. I seem to remember Thomas Brolin appearing for Crystal Palace, making a debut, and it was against Everton. And I think that's the day that Thomas Brolin played for nothing for us and put on a bit of weight. We lost that one 3-1. And I took an ex-girlfriend there. She wasn't ex at the time. She was current at the time. And I could tell that she had never been to a football stadium before.
Yeah.
Because she walked in to Selhurst in the Whitehall's Lane Inn and was blown away at how good it was.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Talking of newbies, that leads me on to Samuel Barrett, the ref, who in his entire refereeing career has only refereed 97 games. He hasn't even got a picture on who scored. That is how little he's reffed. He has reffed 3 Premier League games. So he seems to have shut up the leagues quite quickly. Yeah.
Well, let's hope he's up to it.
Yeah, well, he's obviously decent if they've got that referee in there. But other than that, I mean, I haven't even Googled him. VAR is Andy Madley. Which is good, isn't it? But there
no relation to Bobby, sadly.
No. So that's that. How do you think we'll set up then? Given that we say we've got the players that we had on the bench and on the pitch on Saturday against Burnley, what would you be going for, Chris, if you were the manager for the day?
Well, the question is whether Eze's up to playing 90 minutes or starting the game, isn't it? Because
yep.
If he can, then obviously he's in at number 10. I don't see any world in which IU doesn't start. The left wing is always a mystery, but it sounds like Jez is
out. You're not wrong there.
Elise is not going to be fit, clearly. I mean, unless there's an absolute miracle. I mean, I don't. We've not even seen training footage yet. We've heard he's been in light training. So I don't think we're ready for him yet, or he's ready to play. So realistically, let's be honest, it's going to be Jeff, isn't it, on the left. Doucouré will play his CDM role. Back four will be the normal back four. And up front, I mean, I don't know if Mateta's back. If he's not, then it's got to be Edouard. But I'm not super inspired by that, but it is what it is.
I wouldn't be surprised if Aldi was out. Didn't think he had that much of a good game.
Mm-hmm.
We know Roy likes to keep the same lineup, but it was a shocker. And I think he needs to, in fact, he got taken off. I think he needs to be reminded that he's got a little bit of competition, which goes against everything that we know about Roy. But that's just a bit of a feeling. I was going to ask you about França because he played for the under-21s who got knocked out of the EFL Cup this week against Wimbledon. I think France played, Ozo played, a couple of others. He's got a real coating on social media. And again, I think my personal take on this is there's a lot on the lad's shoulders.
Yeah.
Because we know Andre Moritz, he was from Brazil, wasn't he? But, you know, to actually buy this wunderkind who hasn't actually done a lot in Brazil, to be honest, but looks good, has been built up as something they're not. We had the whole Samba intro video, and it just totally goes against what Roy's been saying about him, and that we shouldn't be putting too much expectation on him because he's not quite the finished article yet. He wasn't getting much of the ball anyway, by all accounts, so he wasn't able to show what he was doing. Whether that shows that he's kind of a bit invisible on the pitch, I don't know. Whether he should be more vociferous, I don't know. But what's your take on it all? Because we pin our hopes, don't we, as Palace fans? Look at Edgar Davids, who I seem to mention every week on this as my beacon of disappointment. But what do you make of it all?
We've signed a kid with potential. I don't think he was ever going to be a first-team player this year. He was never supposed to be. I think the club possibly overplayed him a little bit in terms of the way they've announced it. And I think we shouldn't be putting too much expectation on a young kid who's, you know, not had a lot of game time. Especially, you know, in that kind of fixture, he's not a real proving ground anyway. You know, 2 weeks ago, I think he scored a goal in the same competition, didn't he? Or certainly playing for the youth team. And that was taken as being really good. There's a lot of reaction to the fact that, you know, Roy hasn't said that all the youth performed magnificently against Spurs. And, you know, I mean, he's rightly apologised for his comments that evening. But at the same time, I think what we need to do is calm down and not put too much pressure on anyone. He's not ready yet. And the fact that he's had one bad game doesn't mean that he's never going to have a good game. I mean, apart from anything else, remember Sorloth, who was hopeless for us, and everyone had a massive downer on him, including me. I was never a fan. And he's gone on to be very successful elsewhere. So, you know, I think it's important not to overreact to one bad game.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of agree with you with the lineup. I'd love to see Eze in at that number 10. For the sake of Hughes, even, because, again, he's a good battler, but he hasn't got that little bit extra something that's going to nick a goal from somewhere or play a deadly through ball through. He's more breaking up play further forward up the pitch.
Yeah.
And he does it quite well. But yeah, we've a lot to be thankful for Gay and Anderson, no doubt. They'll still be there, and Lerma and Decor, but their places are kind of cemented as well. So like you said, it's just whether Schlupp can play. And he scored in the last game. So, you know, who's gonna deny him that? We're not Man United, who can rotate superstar players willy-nilly to great effect or not. What's your prediction for the game, Chris?
I'm quite confident for this one. I'm not going to say we're going to score lots because we don't. But I think similar to the Burnley game last week, I'm going to go for 2-0.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 3-0. It's about time we unleashed our scoring power. We're going to wrap it up there. It's about 33% shorter than our usual podcast, but that's because one of us is missing. So I make no apologies for that. Hopefully you can catch the match report in your podcast ears Sunday night, Monday morning, depending on when that comes out. DR at our time of recording is currently on YouTube doing a live preview show as well. You can catch that. If you haven't already seen that, there'll be other YouTube content from D. Follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Still wrong, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
I've been Nick. That's been Chris. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Mike for producing. And up the Palace. International break next week, so we can watch what happens on a Wednesday night.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.